Hello, everybody. This is Neil Real, and this is Let's Please God, the ministry that helps you get right with God. This is episode 38. Today, we're talking about the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Last time, we talked about whether or not the gift of tongues, the speaking in unknown languages, was evidence of the Holy Spirit, and we found that not to be entirely true. Today, we're going to dig into the other gifts. And the goal is just to see what gifts you have. We're going to talk about how they operate and give you a few examples of how they may look on display. We are the children of God, and we've all been given gifts. And we ought to be using those gifts as the Holy Spirit moves us. So let's get into scripture and get right into the study here. The passage is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11. I'm reading from the New Living Translation again. It says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still, another person is given the ability to speak in unknown tongues, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So, off the bat, we see why the gifts are given: to help each other. So you with another brother and you need help, the gift will manifest in one of you, and you have your assistance right there. So that's the main reason for these gifts. And it says here at the end that the Holy Spirit is the one who distributes all these gifts. So once again, everybody don't have the gift of tongues because the Holy Spirit may not have decided to give that person that gift. So we cannot use that as a way of identifying if somebody's born again by the gift of tongues. So I want to deal with something else, because some people believe you have to have somebody lay hands on you to get the gifts. And they go through passages in the book of Acts where it talks about people laying on hands and then the Holy Spirit came on them and then they spoke in tongues. That was done early on after the Holy Spirit came because God was trying to prevent schism. Schism is the division of your organization, if I can make it say it like that. So initially, he wanted to make sure that everybody had an understanding of who the root of the message was coming from. He had to make sure that Paul or one of the 12 apostles, the early 12 apostles, laid hands on people so that it worked through them, versus just everybody just kind of hearing a message and getting born again, and then the Holy Spirit just coming on them, and they just kind of saying, okay, they needed guidance and they needed to have everything come from one source until there was enough people that had a firm understanding of what was going on. So that's why that happened. Later on, you don't need nobody to lay hands on you to get the Holy Spirit or to get any of the nine gifts here, because we have a firm foundation. Apostles have come to this country where I'm living in America. They've already come, laid the foundation, had pastors. We've had hundreds and hundreds of years of understanding and foundational teaching regarding the Holy Spirit and things of that nature. And so when you are born again, you don't need nobody to lay no hands on you. Okay, that was just the first time early when the Holy Spirit first came on the scene. He needed to flow through the people who were given the initial word. Now the gospel has spread pretty much to most of the world. That's not necessary. So that's why I'm saying that here. And so if somebody's saying they need to lay hands on you, well, it's not necessary. You can hear this message and get saved and get filled with this Holy Spirit, and then some of these gifts will pop up in you later on. So that's all I want to say about that. Now, another thing I want to mention about all these gifts is that the Holy Spirit turns them off and on. He's in charge of the gifts. So he you can be gifted with one, but he won't activate it until he's ready to activate it in you. Okay. It's also mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 1 and then verses 12, that you can desire gifts and receiving from the Holy Spirit as he wills. So you can say, I want the gift of prophecy. And if you pray for it and it's God's will for you to have it, you know, you will get it. You can desire different gifts and receive them. At the end of the day, as we mentioned before, the gifts must edify, they must strengthen, and they must encourage. This is mentioned once again in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. That's what the gifts are for. So if you're using them to prop yourself up, then, you know, that's not what the gift is for. And you're misusing the gift, and you're going to cause yourself to fall away if you think that this gift makes you somebody special and better than everybody else, and you want to walk around with a big head and stuff like that. You can't allow the gift to lead you down that path. All right. It's there to help each other. We're helping each other with our gifts. OK, so let's go through each of the nine gifts. This is not in the order of the scripture I just read, but I'm just going to go through each one and talk about how it works. So the first one I'm going to talk about is tongues. And the way that tongues works is this. It flows out of you. You're not doing it. Like I said before, the Holy Spirit is in control of the gift. He makes sure who he decides who's going to get the gift, and he decides when it's going to be in use. All right. So anybody saying I can speak in tongues anytime I want, they got a misunderstanding of scripture. Just because you have a gift doesn't mean you can operate it the way you want to operate it at any time. You see what I'm saying? Well, you say, well, it's mine, but it's still from the Holy Spirit. And I would say, just try it. You know what I'm saying? Some of these other gifts. Okay. I'm deciding I want to heal somebody today. You know, what if the Holy Spirit don't want to heal that person? You got to make sure that that's his will for you to use it at that time. That's how it works. So let me go back to tongues. It flows out of you. It'll basically work this way. You're praying and then your language will change. And you'll say, what is this? And it's just flowing out of you. You're not doing it. Most people I see in church, when I was growing up in the Pentecostal church, they were making it up. I was right along with them, just coming up with weird syllables and just making stuff up and saying we're speaking in tongues. And you were doing this on hours and hours and hours. And I wish there was an interpreter, because they would have been saying, look, hey, that guy over there is just, he's not saying anything. He's just making up gibberish. That person over there, they're speaking in the spirit of the devil. That person over there is speaking in the Holy Ghost. You see? So it's not you doing it. You cannot just speak in tongues when you want to. It's when the Holy Spirit gives you utterance and he flows through you. Then that's when you allow it to continue on. And then that's when you're speaking in tongues. Now, you also have self-control. You can cut off the tongues. I don't want to speak in tongues. I would not disallow anything the Holy Spirit wants to do through you, though. I just wouldn't do that. But we can do that, though. Now, the second one is the interpretation of tongues. And how it works is basically what it says. You can interpret what somebody just said. You know, if they're speaking in a heavenly language, and you can explain it in English or whatever language that needs to be, you know, translated in. Simple as that. You'll know, like, oh, I know what that person is saying, because you had a gift of interpretation. Another way it can express itself, if you go to a foreign country and you don't speak the language, but you have the gift and you're able to understand what people are saying, even though you don't know that language, yet you're able to understand it. That's pretty much how it works. The next gift, number three, discerning of spirits. And this gift, it helps you to understand whether or not you're dealing with the Holy Spirit or not. You can know if a person is operating in the Holy Spirit, if they're operating in their flesh. If you're talking to God, if you're hearing from God, if you're hearing from Jesus Christ, if you're hearing from the Holy Spirit, if you're hearing from God the Father, if you're hearing from a fallen angel, if you're hearing from a demon, these are all spirits, different kinds of spirits, good and bad. And so with the discerning of spirits, you know who's who and what's what. You can determine what's going on because you have that level of discernment. So that's how it works. Number four. The gift of faith. So this basically is useful when other people's faith is low. You have an extra boost of faith, and it helps boost morale because you still have more faith. You have faith in God and in his word more than everybody else. And it's in a time when people's faith is low. And then you come in with the faith and you're able to help other people's faith elevate because you believe. But this belief of yours is coming from the Holy Spirit, is an extra belief. Now, we know in scripture that you know, faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So the more you study, the more faith you can have. We also read in scripture that everybody has been given a measure of faith. So somebody's faith level may be lower than somebody else's other faith level. Somebody's faith level may be higher, depending on what God has delved out to people. But overall, if you have the gift of faith, you have an extra amount which is necessary in boosting morale when faith is low. That's how I look at it in scripture. If anybody has a different interpretation, please leave a comment or email me. All right. So you can use it for other people. You can help other people with it. It's also helpful for yourself. Obviously, if you're losing faith, you know, the gift of faith activates and then your faith is restored. And number five, the gift of knowledge, or the word of knowledge, as it said in the King James Version. This is another gift from the Holy Spirit. And basically, it is knowledge about hitting things to help you understand a person, place, or thing. And I'm going to give you an example because, you know, I've seen the gift of knowledge operate in me. I was serving at a soup kitchen, helping men draft resumes and learn how to use the internet to find jobs and use how to use the computer. I had taught a computer literacy class as well. There was other services coming through the soup kitchen, like people who brought in jobs and stuff. So there was a particular organization. And one guy, he was the president of this organization. I'm not going to name it, but he came in. And he was very proud and arrogant and very loud. And he would always talk about his past life and how awesome of a person he was. He bothered my spirit to the point I would have to leave the room because he was so arrogant. And he was there to provide jobs, but he would also give a little talk, you know, to try to prep the men up. But he would often just talk about himself. And his story was basically he was selling drugs and as a youngster, and then he went to prison, and then he came out of prison, and then he turned his life around, and now he is the, you know, he was the president of this particular organization, and now he's helping people get jobs and different things like that. All right. But I had a problem with this guy because he was always arrogant. So all he is just pumping his chest out, and I hate all of that because I hate pride, because God hates pride. The Bible is clear about this. So many passages in the Bible about God hating pride, and it's like a stench to me when I come across people like that. And he called himself a Christian as well. So one day I'm at home and I'm thinking about him. And I said, God, you know, why is he always got his chest down? Why is he always boasting and fronting so hard? Immediately, I got this information. He got raped in prison when he was a youngster. And he's been fighting homosexuality since then. So this is why he's always got his chest out. He's trying to front like he's so much of a man. And he's so big, bad, and tough because inside he feels soft. He feels like a girl because of what happened to him. He hasn't healed from that. But it dropped in my spirit so clear. And it was like, what? That's a word of knowledge. And it made so much sense. And now I see that in a lot of different men. When you see a man overcompensating, lifting all these weights and trying to be the biggest thing he can be and always coming off as so extra masculine, it's to the point that he's forcing himself to be more masculine than he already is. Because as men, we already naturally masculine. But why is it that you feel you got to go three times further to project something that you already have? Like, why are you fronting so hard? Why are you deepening the bass in your voice when you already got bass in your voice? Why are you doing this? Bottom line was, that's what happened. That's an example of a word of knowledge being dropped in your spirit. He didn't tell me that. And I wasn't going to go tell him, hey, man, you know, this is what happened to you. But the bottom line was that information was given to me to give me understanding because of my relationship with God. He wanted me to understand this is what happened to him. That's why he act like that. And I'm like, wow. It gives you understanding about hidden things that about a person or a place or a thing. Some people I've heard testimonies where they went into an environment or an old building and then they got flashbacks of what was going on in there. Oh my God, they were doing this, doing that, raping, and they were doing this and that. And nobody told them anything. And then they find out later on down the line that that's what was happening in that building. But the Holy Spirit gave them a word of knowledge that nobody knew about. You see? And it just helps you to deal with your surroundings, give you an understanding, and you can move on with that. And by the way, you know, this man's mannerisms, being a person on my level of discernment, looking at people, I noticed that he had effeminate qualities. Even though he was trying to project so much of a masculine persona, he still had some of these feminine kind of things coming out. And that's what it was. He's fighting a homosexual spirit that was put into him from being raped in prison. But the bottom line is the Holy Spirit will give you information. And down the line, you will realize that that's true. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for that. So I kind of digress a little bit on the word of knowledge, but that's a good example, and I wanted to share that. Number six, the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom is similar to knowledge. But see, the difference between knowledge and wisdom is that wisdom is godly understanding and knowledge, and then it leads to what you should do about it. Now, if God told me how to deal with that man next time he came into the room to talk to those men, then that would have been a word of wisdom, because then I would be able to handle him better instead of leaving the room every now and then because I didn't want to deal with this him just talking all day, because that's what it was. It was just running his mouth. It was like, God. So a word of wisdom is guidance. You get this information and you know exactly what to do. And then you can also help other people, because they can come to you and say, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, you know, I'm having a problem and I don't know what to do about it. What you think? And then that word of wisdom can activate in that brother or sister, and they can translate some wisdom to you, and then you're able to take that guidance and be successful. See, that's why we need everybody operating in their gifts, so we can help one another. So that's an example of it. Number seven, the gift of healing. This simply works this way. You lay hands on people in faith and people are healed. Simple as that. The other side of it is you know how to mix plants and, you know, herbs and stuff together to heal people. So it's twofold. You have a vast knowledge of different herbs and things that God created, that he said, if you mix this with that, you're able to, you know, produce this. Now, we know that men, secular, not born again, have learned some things in the earth and passed them down from generation to generation to do things. But you may also be given that information from the Holy Spirit to put together some herbs to be able to feed somebody something that will heal them from the inside out. And that's one way of looking at it. So think about that. But oftentimes when we look at the gift of healing, we see what Jesus did. He laid hands and people got healed. You know, there was no, hey, take some medicine, this, that, and the other. They just laid hands and the person was healed. So if that's happening through you, you got the gift of healing. Okay. Number eight, miracles. And a lot of people say, well, somebody laying hands on somebody and healing them is a miracle, but that's not the same category. With miracles, it's the extraordinary things that happen that help solve problems. Okay. So it ain't about, you know, somebody being sick. That's for the gift of healing. It's when somebody dead and they need to be resurrected. That's miraculous. You see, when Jesus raised the dead, when Jesus walked on water, he was like, look, I ain't got no boat. I'm not swimming across. So I'm gonna just walk across. That's miraculous. That's the gift of miracles. And Jesus operated in most of these gifts here. I don't think the tongues or the interpretation was mentioned in scripture, but he did everything on this list here. And the multiplying of food. You know, he got two fish and five loaves and he's able to feed 5,000 people. What just happened there? A miracle. And so if you have the gift of miracles, you'll be doing similar stuff. OK, we see, you know, the, you know, Old Testament prophets, Elijah, telling a woman, oh, get some olive oil and then, you know, fill this up. And then she had all this olive oil. And he was like, what happened? That was a miracle. One time he threw salt into the water to purify it. Amazing. What's going on here? He has the miracles flowing through him. And so if you have the gift of miracles, you will see things happen through you that are miraculous. So that's pretty much how it works. But of course, with all these gifts I'm saying here, it's based off the Holy Spirit wanting to do it or not. Okay. But you can rest assured if you ask him in a situation that's going to happen, because you have the gift. He's going to activate it when he wants to. You got the gift. But when I want to use you to do something, I'm going to turn it on. And when I don't want you to use it, I'm going to turn it off. That's how I see it in scripture. But I would say this. You ask the Holy Spirit, hey, I know I had this gift flowing through me before. Is this an opportune time for the gift to be activated? And if so, let it flow through me. And things can happen that way. The last gift is the gift of prophecy. And if you read any of my old school articles, you'll know that gift of prophecy is mentioned actually three times. God the Father gives out prophecy. The Holy Spirit gives out prophecy. And Jesus has an office called prophet. So there's three kinds of prophets, and I talk about those different kinds. In this case, you know God's heart about someone's past, present, or future. And you're able to speak a word to a brother or sister about what God is thinking about them. So you're the mouthpiece with God, basically, when you're a prophet. But you're not labeled a prophet. You just have the gift of prophecy, okay? I want to be clear, because you're not operating as a prophet all the time. It's, once again, the gift is turned on and it's turned off. And when God wants to speak to somebody through you, he will do that. And we'll talk more about prophecy later on, because I've written about it, but I probably need to speak about it, because, you know, we got new listeners and they may not want to go back into the archives and read all that. So that is the list. We have the gift of tongues. We have the interpretation of tongues. We have discerning of spirits. We have the gift of faith, the gift of knowledge, the gift of wisdom, the gift of healing, the gift of miracles, and the gift of prophecy. 9 gifts from the Holy Spirit. All right, so I just want to talk about the order of these gifts and the importance. We noticed, and we read this in the last sermon, that Paul talked about the gift of tongues being the least of the gifts. And I just want to mention how if you're in a church and they're lifting up the least of things and making that most important, there's a problem here. What God highly esteems, Satan seems to, you know, demean that and make what God doesn't esteem as much. He tends to flip things, you see. So here's an example is the tongues being more important or more emphasized than the gift of prophecy or faith and wisdom. I mean, these are really powerful gifts. And yet the tongues, which is usually mostly for yourself, it's amplified, you see. We can't have that. Another thing that people do is the Sabbath. One of the laws of the Ten Commandments is the Sabbath. Yet, they emphasize the Sabbath more than they emphasize the love of God or the love of your neighbor. What is the greatest commandment? Love your Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. But yet, they make the Sabbath to the point where you got an entire denominational church calling themselves Seventh-day Adventists. So, this is what I'm saying. There's a problem when you're flipping stuff. And so, we cannot be majoring in minors. We cannot make certain gifts more important than the gifts that God said that should be important. So I believe we all should go pray for the gift of prophecy. These other gifts, faith and wisdom, desire those gifts more than the tongues. We're not demeaning tongues or saying that we shouldn't use that gift, but we need to understand that there are better gifts that edify the church more. And so if we desire that, this will be helpful to us as a group. So I encourage you to desire the gifts, the more important gifts. And until next time, walk in the Spirit and be blessed. We'll be right back.